4th of July weekend is upon us. People are out enjoying themselves. Some deadheads still wandering around the city after Dead & Company in town for the last couple nights. Some Tom Petty fans still here from Thursday. I'm still reeling from my big night of old man 80s rock, 70s and 80s rock last night, where I looked around the hill at the Hollywood Casino Amphitheater and thought to myself, look at all these old people dancing around. And then I realized, oh, my God, I am one of these old people dancing around. So everybody's out today having a great time. The weather is cooperating. I hope you're having a good weekend, whether you're in town visiting, whether you're heading out of town or back in town, whatever you're doing. Or if you're working, like us, you know, we hope you're having fun, too. Big show planned, and I say that every week, and every week I tend to deliver. Let's be honest. Why sell ourselves short? It's the holiday weekend. We're going to celebrate our independence from self-sabotage and from talking down about ourselves. We're going to celebrate our independence from all of that by telling you tonight's big show is big. Our friends from Escape Artistry are going to join us after 6:30. They've got a bunch of brand new escape rooms to go along with the one we did last year, the rail car. So if you are looking for a team building or just a fun night out with some friends, we'll tell you how to do that. And if you're looking for big movies, oh man, nothing bigger than 70mm. The folks from the Music Box Theater are going to be in here to talk about their 70mm Film Festival. We've got some Florida news coming up. Karen will be here after 8 o'clock to answer your legal questions. What else could you ask for? Nothing. The phone number, probably, 312-981-7200. That's how you get a hold of us, via telephone or text messaging. I know it's the same number. Again, I'm confused by all of that, but that's not our job. Our job is to fix broken news. It's not to worry about the magic of telephones and text machines. Is a text a machine? No, a text is a device. I don't know what it is. It doesn't matter. Why are you wearing a headband, Roger?
It's the holiday weekend.
Are you Macho Man Randy Savage all of a sudden? Cody, yep. Did you see Roger's headband? He's like wearing a full headscarf, like he's Uncle Sam Jemima. I don't know what's going on up there. I look up. I know you haven't been going through... I know you haven't been going through any sort of therapy that would have resulted in the loss of what little hair you did have.
Not that you know of.
Thank God. No, don't even not that you know of, because then people go, did you hear Roger's going through something and Brian made fun of him? Roger is not going through any health-related issues, folks.
No.
Don't let him play on your sympathy, because you know
I'm
how
okay.
Thirsty he is for attention. So now he's up there wearing some crazy skull cap and chaps, and it's a whole, oh, I want you.
Listen, I have my hog over
you are
the
such a cut rate Uncle Sam. I've never, what's with that? What's with the headgear?
Well, a couple of weeks ago.
Is it cold up there?
No. A couple of weeks ago, the guys from the WGN Radio Theater, Lisa and Carl.
Old-timey radio.
Old-timey radio. Got me some nice birthday gifts, but mainly all patriotic stuff, knowing that I have the parade coming up on Tuesday.
Sure, you're the Grand Marshal of the MC.
I'm just the MC. Grand Marshal
Don't
is,
sell yourself short. The MC is a big deal.
I know. I actually get to ride in the golf cart this year.
All right, I take that back.
Okay.
So Roger's emceeing some parade. Golf, what is it, the Shriner Clown Parade?
No, it's in Skokie. It's 4th of July Parade.
Do all of you get in one golf cart?
Well,
golf
it's just
cart?
Me and the driver.
Oh, okay. The whole parade is not
the
golf carts?
The clowns get a different one.
All right. So
the
you're emceeing, and you've done this before. You've done this
my third
times.
Year.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
And Patty's going to be there. She's one of the guest stars. And Kaplan, Dave Kaplan is our... celebrity, our main celebrity. Well, he's from Skokie. We bring Skokie people in.
That's fantastic.
So Kaplan's in, and Mark Silverberg's from Sylvie
sure.
over on
Cap If you could plug any more radio personalities from other stations, Roger, that would be great.
Now
Already
to,
and Jovo
now
getting
TV.
Back together. What else is happening?
Now we go to TV,
My
and it's
goodness.
Rob Johnson.
Larry Kujak coming back? They scraping up the bones of Paul Harvey? You want to just keep naming other people?
Paul Harvey,
I tell you, the big shots from these other stations are fantastic. They're terrific.
But are you from Skokie?
No.
Well, we'll have you next year as a guest.
I don't make Skokie money. I can't live in Skokie.
Yeah, you can.
Ah, no,
yeah, come on.
I don't have a place.
Near the train station.
I don't know if that's a slam on Skokie or
no,
not.
No, it's not.
It sure sounded
Actually,
like it was.
It's a really nice industrial park right by the Skokie Swift up there.
Again,
it's really nice.
It sounded again like a,
nah,
like a slam on Skokie. Would you agree,
so,
Cody?
Cody
I'm
wasn't
staying
listening.
Out of this. I'm staying out of this.
Yeah, nothing good's going to come of this conversation.
Roger looks like Hulk Hogan when he was Mr. America in 2003.
Right, all of a sudden I want to take my vitamins.
A beard. Yeah.
All right, so they gave you this headdress?
And so I was trying to think of something to wear today. that was patriotic.
You know, and we're on the radio, right?
I know we're also on the internet, on video. Plus, I wanted to impress you.
That's a secondary value.
I wanted to impress you.
Well, listen, just you being here impresses me, Roger.
Wow, you have low standards.
Just you. Well, sure. I think we've known that over the years. No, why would you want? But you thought that would impress me.
Yes.
Oh, well, boy, you are. Are you drunk?
Yeah.
You're way off. No, I think it's fine. I'm just giving you a hard time.
I know.
Think if
it was
you
either
wear
this
something crazy,
or the,
go ahead.
The red, white, and blue flashing light sunglasses.
That I wouldn't have gone.
I know, and it would have given me fits. So
yeah,
with the flashing lights.
You don't need flashing lights
no.
going out. Again, it's radio. So,
right.
It's,
so I decided. I
our
said,
primary
you know
medium
I'll
is sound. It's not. It's not visual.
I know.
I know we're trying to change all that and add multi-platforms and blah 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 because we have to, you know, because for whatever reason
we're into social media.
Sure, we're into all sorts of.
Yeah.
Oh, we're into so many
we're
platforms.
Everywhere.
Is
we're
that
the,
what they call it? Platforms,
right? The original social media.
Well, sure.
Platforms
yeah.
are channels.
Channels or silos. That's more of a business. Silo is more of a business.
Yeah, it's a little different.
Oh, okay.
A little different.
So that's what it is, and
right.
that's why I put it
is
on.
Is your head sweaty?
No, not at all. It feels very comfortable.
Really?
But I'm not going to be able to wear this on.
Oh, why not? Why couldn't you wear that as a
because
as the
I'm
MC
wearing a WGN radio hat.
Oh, what
and so this would look goofy under it, and plus I've got my brand new...
We would not want it to look goofy at the parade.
I've got my my brand new Stars and Stripes suit that
now
I'm wearing
see,
on Tuesday.
That impresses me.
There you go.
Right there. I'm impressed by that.
Yeah, it's a dark blue suit with white stars on it.
Wow.
It's I've got a light blue shirt, and I've got a red and white tie, striped tie, and red pants.
You auditioning for the Pips when the parade is over?
That's right.
Going to be one of the Pips?
Yes, I am.
All right. Wally? Or what a Gladys Knight's
Gladys Knight.
Yeah, I won't want you to get Wally pipped out of the parade. You know, I hear Kaplan's going to be there, Cody. That's big time. And Sylvie.
Who?
They're both from Skokie.
Sure, they're both from Skokie.
I've never heard any of those people.
Me either. Mark Sylvie's on. They're all on other radio stations.
Yeah, another. Yeah.
That's fantastic.
I don't listen to other radio stations.
You know,
who has time for that?
Sports guys. They're sports guys.
Yeah.
What are sport? The closest I've come to watching sports is watching the kickoff of Summer Games Done Quick on Twitch TV earlier. It's a 7-day video game speedrun marathon.
I was going to say, I don't think any of those words are real.
Exactly.
I don't think
seven
any of that is realistic.
Video game speedrun. They beat some game in like 2 hours. It was great.
Wow.
That's the closest I've come to sports. And they have commentators.
You listen
why.
To the beat. Every week before we come in here.
Well, yeah. Does that
we're transfixed with the beat.
See, that sounds like a WGN show to me, personally. Am I allowed to say that?
I think you did. I don't know why you use that sort of tone and tonality. I know why, because you know the bosses are all off holidaying, so they're not paying attention. They don't even know if we're still on the air, let's be honest. The bosses loaded themselves up into their big cars and their private jets, and they went off to do whatever it is the bosses do on a holiday, and they left the worker bees here taking care of business. And I don't mind that.
You think I'm a worker bee?
No, you're not even. You haven't even graduated to worker bee status.
Oh.
I don't even know what the baby ink, you know, the larvae.
A baby bee.
The larvae bee.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, larval. You're in the larval stage.
Wow.
You know.
You just want to say larval.
I did want to say
a couple
larval.
More times.
I would like to name someone larval. I'm betting if people are listening on the stream down in Kentucky, they just called somebody out in the yard, Larval, they're talking about you on the squawk box! And then Larval comes lumbering in his overalls.
Yep.
That was a show in the
70s. They're talking about me.
Wasn't that show in the 70s, Larval and Shirley?
No, that was Laverne and Shirley.
All right.
Oh, shit. It was Laverne and Shirley.
That was a joke, Roger. I knew that. I really did.
Roger does it.
I like wordplay.
Wow.
Sunday wordplay.
That's only 6:19. Loosen up the headscarf, Roger. Obviously, things are getting a little tight up there. The rest of it, now the red, white, and blue is on top of his head. The rest of his face is getting just as red because it's, you know, that was like a child's headscarf. That's
yeah.
the kind of thing they give to babies when they're leaving the ICU after they were born. So it's like a baby beanie.
Yeah.
And Roger's trying to squeeze it on his dome so
just
it's pushing
tight.
All the blood down
yeah.
to his chin.
Don't let it cut off your circulation.
Yeah. Why not?
Well, because your news reports are sketchy already.
That's true.
We need to make sure.
I've got to be of clear mind when I'm doing the news.
And people say, wow, how do you guys come up with this? It's all scripted. All scripted, every word scripted.
Right here it says, Roger, laugh.
Yeah.
Right
yeah.
here it says, take a break.
It does say take a break. And yet I can't read all the words on the script, so I never pay attention to that. Big fireworks. We saw some fireworks been going off all week, and I, you know my love of fireworks, coupled with my disdain for crowds, which makes the 4th of July quite a conundrum for me. Like many of you, I love to watch fireworks. I do. I'm a sucker for them. And last night while we were watching REO, Speedwagon, Styx, and Don Felder, there were fireworks going off in all the surrounding towns. So from my perch on the hill with all the other geriatrics who were trying to recapture our high school days, I got to see fireworks everywhere. And it was wonderful because the soundtrack was great. Yeah, so last night I went, you almost seemed like you were interested, Cody, the other night when we saw you, because Cody and I have been socializing way too much this week, let's be honest. It was very nice. We went to a tiki making class with our ladies the other night, Roger. We did not wear headscarves.
Oh, really?
No, that was
Did you wear grass skirts? Little tiki?
No, I had a beautiful shirt on with some tiki drinks on it and, tiki men. It was very, quite festive.
You're styling.
I was styling. But we went to that and I mentioned to Cody that we were going to see, REO Speedwagon and Styx last night. Mm-hmm. And you almost seemed like you wanted to pull the trigger to go with.
I had just recently had a conversation with somebody about the Hollywood Casino Amphitheater.
Yes.
And I had never been. That was my interest,
yes.
Really.
Oh, okay.
REO, I mean, I'm sure I've heard a lot of their stuff.
You have.
Could I name a song? No.
Really?
Yeah.
That's unfortunate. But you're much younger than most of the people who were there last night.
Really?
Yes. There were a lot of multi-generational fans. You know, parents my age bringing their kids with them, which was cool. A lot of folks my age who still look like they were dressed to go to high school. You know, they were still trying to wear their, I'm in my 50s. I'm trying to be the really hot, let's go to a concert chick, which, let's admit, I admired it. I'm not going to lie to you. But it was a lot of fun. Don Felder opened up the show, and he was one of the original members of the Eagles, and his whole set was Eagles songs.
Oh,
because because he wrote them.
Yeah.
And it was, so that was great. And then, I joked with the guys on Sound Sessions. I don't know, if you lived, the week I was off, they filled in for me a few weeks ago.
Michael was on last night, too.
Yeah. And, I had mentioned to them that I was a big REO Speedwagon fan, and they mocked it because they're not hip and cool. Not the Sound Session guys, REO Speedwagon, I guess, not considered hip and cool anymore, which makes sense. But, yeah, they came out and they were fantastic. We saw them last summer. It's becoming a summertime ritual where I pretend it's 1981 again. Well, I'll be honest. I had some of my earliest romantic, encounters with High Infidelity as the soundtrack to them. So I'm, I have a certain fondness for that band, let's say. So they came on. They played an hour and 15 minutes. And Styx played an hour and 15 minutes because it was kind of like a co-headliner show, but Styx has a new album and they had a bigger stage show. And I forget how many really great songs Styx had.
Yeah.
Styx had hits going back 40, stuff here. You want to feel old, Roger? The 40 year anniversary of Grand Illusion.
It's 40 years
ago. And these are all songs that I was like, man, I remember these songs perfectly. And again, then I thought to myself, boy, I'm the target audience for this
You're
concert.
It now.
I was it. I was, I don't know if, I'm not really a boomer. I'm not really a Gen Xer. I'm right in the middle at the end of one and beginning of another, but that was my musical sweet spot. Unfortunately, my musical sweet spot never grew. So.
You're stuck in the 80s.
Right. I'm an old man who likes to rock to music that I rocked to when I was not an old man.
Well, but a lot of people are like that.
You think?
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, I love listening to stuff from the 60s. Yeah. I love the music. I think it's great. But driving in today, I hooked up the old iPod, and speaking of the Eagles, Tequila Sunrise.
Yeah.
And I blasted that out of the car as I'm going down Lakeshore Drive.
Now, did you have the headscarf on in the car?
No. Okay. No, I had my Lou Manfredini hat.
That would have been the perfect look.
Well, driving the car, I got.
You got some yacht rock going, and you got your Stars and Stripes headband, head scarf on. Man.
Given the horn signal out the window, the finger horns.
Well, then you'd have to pay Gene Simmons for that.
Oh, right. He wants to trademark it.
Yeah. Well, he wants to trademark it, but he's never going to get to because he's a goof. Did you hear? Cody's eating. I don't know. So I can't engage him in the conversation. He likes to.
I saw the story. It was like a couple of weeks ago.
Yes, because the horns were supposed to be. Yeah. He invented raising up the horns. No,
yeah,
he didn't.
Right.
Has he ever been to Texas for a UT game?
Yeah.
Where they do the hook'em horns? Yeah. But no, this was. And sign language, it's I love you. I know everybody's talking. We hadn't talked about it. But since you brought up putting the horns out the window. Somehow I don't see you throwing the horns up.
Nah, if I did, I'd probably like, some bird would fly into it or something.
You'd snap your wrist. Because, you're that kind of guy. So now the parade, are there fireworks following the parade that night at the Skokie Parade? And where can people go do they hear you? Is it broadcast? How do I hear a Roger Badish MC a parade?
Well,
I'm not somebody from another radio station.
You can hear me if you are from the Skokie Swift tracks down to Oakton Park. I am on a microphone, and the speakers go that far.
Is it a Mr. Microphone, or is it a big setup?
It's a big setup. Big setup. Okay. Plus, the event is recorded, so everything I do is the soundtrack to the video, and that would be up a few weeks after the parade. That'll be up on the Internet and also on the Skokie cable system. You can hear me if you come down to the parade. There is a fireworks show later that night, and what's cool about that fireworks show is everybody gets 3D glasses to watch the fireworks, and that is, like, really cool.
Aren't the fireworks kind of in 3D already?
Not really. This gives us a special kind of texture to it.
All right.
That you can't really see when you're just watching it. It's two-dimensional when you watch it. You know, it's not really 3D.
Well, why you got to make it personal?
When I
watch it, it's a two-dimensional thing. I'm not capable of seeing something in 3D.
Gosh knows what you see when you look at fireworks.
I see the end of the world. I see my hopes and dreams exploding in a million bright colors across the sky. That's what I see. Happy 4th of July, everybody. It's summertime, and you're looking for fun things to do. You want to maybe have guests coming into town. Maybe you just have the kids. You got a big group going on. Whatever you need to do, you're looking for something fun. I'll tell you something fun to do is to go to an escape room, because not only are you going to test your own knowledge, you're going to see how you work with a group. You're going to see if you can cooperate with people. And the best place to do it is with the folks from Escape Artistry. We talked to them a year ago, and they are back in the house. Maren Rosenberg is the Master of Mayhem, and Melissa Schlesinger is the Officer of Obstacles. I don't know what those titles actually mean, but they are the bosses and creators of the escape rooms. Welcome back, ladies. We're glad to have you. This is it was fun last year, and then we heard you guys were doing some new stuff, so we wanted to have you back in. And
thanks for having us.
It was very cool. So get right up on that, Melissa, so people can hear what you're saying. Last year, you started off with the rail car.
That's correct.
Which was a lot of fun, and it was a rebuilding of, like, a CTA car, and people are trapped in there, and you have an hour to get out. This year, though, you guys have expanded. You've got not only a new space, but you have a bunch of new rooms. What do you got going on now?
So we have a second Wicker Park location at 1342 North Milwaukee, and that houses the Time Gallery, which is our interdimensional time agency-approved time travel facility. We'll send you back and forth throughout Chicago history to, again, like with the rail car, attack puzzles, look at clues, find the riddles, and hopefully escape and or solve your mission in time. You particularly went back to 1908 to Roaring Dan's Pirate Dungeon. Yes. However, you could have also gone to 1934 to Detective versus Dillinger. We could have sent you to our B horror movie scenario, ooh, 1982's The Dollhouse. And we finally also have Operation Granny. That's G-R-A-N-I-E because it stands for the Greater Retired Alliance of National Intelligence and Espionage.
Your grandmother is a secret agent.
I don't know if you knew that.
I did not know that. It doesn't surprise me.
And in August, we're excited, we're opening our next room, which is a 1950s Cold War era scenario classroom. So you're going to learn a little bit about science and hopefully avert a nuclear disaster all in an hour.
Man, all the scenarios sound really cool. But it also sounds like a lot of work, because I know at least for the one we went through, which was the Roaring Dan's Pirate Dungeon, as you mentioned, we went back to 1908. There was a lot of facts, and I'm guessing it wasn't all just made up. These seemed like legit facts and legit. Yeah. So is that where you come in, Melissa? Are you doing all the research? I know you're creating the space, right? You're actually designing the room. You're the lead designer.
What was my actual title? I can't remember what the website
Officer of Obstacles.
Obstacles translates to lead designer.
Lead designer.
Yeah.
So part of that design is going back and doing all this historical research
We shared the burden. So Maren Rosenberg, Grace Pasula, who does all of our media, and I attacked a bunch of scripts. I'm sorry, I keep moving away from the microphone.
The microphone is your friend.
We attacked a bunch of scripts in order to take a little bit of true history and a lot of bit of fun and the weird, punny, funny spin we like to put on our stories to tell a little bit of truth as well as some fiction in your travels through space and time and learning a little bit about Chicago along the way. Yeah.
So how did these five scripts come to be? Well, I mean, there's a long history of Chicago. How did you pick these five time periods?
So we had some scenarios and some puzzle scripts that we wanted to begin with, and then we tried to do our best to figure out which would suit what Chicago story. So in thinking about a classroom scenario, do you put it in the Hull House? Do you put it in, well, we wanted to do a puzzle that included this kind of technology, and that wouldn't have been around in 1900. Let's figure out a new time period to place this in. Or how can we recreate the puzzle if we get really, really attached to a storyline or a piece of history that we want to explore and sort of find that common ground? But we started definitely with the puzzle scripts first and then developed a fun Chicago-centric theme around each of those rooms.
And when people come in, do they, I mean, you kind of know what to expect if you're going into an escape room, but have you seen one or two things that you've designed that people just, they were not expecting this all, that it completely baffled them? There's probably a lot, because
without
I know we were baffled. Well, sure, but in general terms, you get, a law or some sort of puzzle, because the puzzles are difficult.
Puzzles can be difficult, there's logic involved. There's literally finding things that sometimes falls apart. I find I love groups that have like varying age ranges in them when you have little kids and like older folks in a game, because the older folks are really good at sitting back and seeing everything from that one perspective. And sometimes, when you have too many people seeing it from the further perspective, they don't find the little things. And you get that 6-year-old in the group, and the 6-year-old isn't helpful for the logic puzzle.
Right.
But the 6-year-old does a great job of finding everything and bringing it to grandma and grandpa, and then they put it together, and it's really cute. It's so cute when that happens.
And I would imagine, I know from the one we did from Railcar and from this Pirate's Dungeon, it's acceptable for all ages. There's nothing, there's nothing adult in any of the puzzles, or any of the ones I've seen anyway. Is that the case for all the rooms?
I would say the Dollhouse is a little bit more PG-13, but
scarier?
You just have to know what. It's creepy. I wouldn't call it scary, but it's definitely creepy. And there's all sorts of pictures on the walls of 80s people possibly in their bikinis and stuff. So like PG-13.
PG-13 is still pretty good. For those who don't know, escape artistry has a pretty cool background, and the foundation is really nice. Why don't you tell us a little bit about how you guys came to be? Because Maren, you've been in the escape room business for quite some time. You're a veteran of the escape room business.
It's kind of interesting to be a veteran of a business, considering that it's, less than 15 years old, but, everything has to start somewhere. But that is one of the unique things, is that everyone who is both old enough to own a business isn't young enough to have done nothing else before that, unless you, I guess, suppose are independently wealthy. But all the different owners are coming from different backgrounds with different points of view and different skill sets. Melissa and I both have a theatrical background. We both did live theater and actually worked on a show together when we were both working full-time in the theater industry, and then re-met later in the first room escape that I was working at, which is Room Escape Adventures, Trapped in a Room with a Zombie.
Okay.
I helped open that in December of 2013 and started working with Melissa, and we wanted to kind of revamp up the ante on a few of the rooms, but also install a new room. And then after that, I broke off and opened the boutique sister company of Room Escape Adventures, which is Escape Artistry. As far as we know, it is still the only completely Chicago Chicago-centric and exclusively Chicago owned, operated, designed, and managed room escape company in the city. If I'm misstating, I may be incorrect, and I'm happy to be recorrected. However,
we're not going to correct you because it sounds good to me.
Great. Okay. Well, that's, as far as I know, true still. And one of the first things we focused on are just like, what were stories that were important to us and what are the things that we wanted to share? And we love this city and we wanted to be very specific to Chicago so that anytime someone came and played a room, that it was specific to their experience, whether they were a Chicago local wanting to celebrate where it was that they were, or if they were a tourist or someone who was new to Chicago and they wanted to learn a little bit more about the authentic, true sort of blood of Chicago that runs deeper than just, you know, the Magnificent Mile and the Bean and the things that may be accessible on a, you know, first time trip, what's going to be on, you know, the in the big tour guide.
Very cool. And Melissa, I know as a lead designer, part of what escape artistry does, you focus a lot on the environment. So you're very careful about what you use to build your rooms, right?
It can be a challenge to make things that people out there in the world can't break. That's, I don't know what it is that just people get really amped up when they're playing these. I'm so sorry. People get really amped up when they're playing these games because they're racing against the clock.
Yes.
So the challenge as a designer is to make something that is intuitive to manipulate so that they manipulate it in such a way that I had designed it to.
Okay.
And the puzzles themselves, I'm always interested in, it's the logic of the puzzle themselves, I'm always interested in the ways other people find to solve them aside from the way that I designed, which that's one challenge of actually making a puzzle track that's fun for you guys to play and like feels logical and you're not getting mad at the person who made this. Sometimes I laugh in the corner when you guys are having a hard time, but typically I'm like, no, you guys can do this. You can figure it out. I want you to figure it out. That's the whole goal. But sometimes on the more physical level, people try really hard to do things the wrong way, and then
okay.
they break, and I got to figure out how to make them not break.
And are you still using all like recycle and refurb, you know,
whenever
stuff.
Possible.
Yeah.
Yes, there are some more specific things that require technologies that are newly developing. Like since we started doing this to like what's coming out now, there's a lot of things that I'm like, oh, that's super cheap now. Awesome. I can use this thing in this because I can easily get my hands on that, or I can scrap it out of something I found at the thrift store, or I've used this fresh material to make this thing, and all of my scraps from that are the perfect size for this thing. So one of the fun of building all the scenery is that, you know, you're doing the zoomed out part of building the room itself,
okay.
and then you're doing the slightly more zoomed in part of building the puzzles themselves. So the materials that you have left over from building the set, you can use to build the puzzles as well. So like they all kind of mesh together and you have all these parts. I become a little bit of a hoarder. We just spent
well,
the last couple
of
weeks trying to store things that are left over from all the games that we've built.
Well, if you go into one of these, it's not... It's, we went into, again, the Pirate's Dungeon, and escapeartistry.com, escape-artistry.com is the website. So if you're listening to this and go, what are they talking about? Go to the website and check it out.
The dash is because you have to go fast when you only have 60 minutes.
Very quick. Boom. But there's a lot of detail in these rooms. What I was saying, you're not just walking into a cube... With that, you know, it's like going into a movie set. There's things everywhere. Since you are the lead designer and you're also you play a character, and I know you played a character in the rail car and you played a character the other day who's kind of you welcome people, and then without giving away, you're kind of the disembodied watcher who may or may not occasionally throw a little clue if you see somebody
I'll
a team is having trouble.
Yeah.
What has thrown people into a panic? Have you seen people freak out? I mean, I completely lose it? Because I know there's times when tensions tend to run a little high in our group, but has there ever been a time when they just completely went mental and you had to go, all right, we're done?
I don't think I've actually had to kick anyone out yet. I'm pretty good at diffusing those situations as soon as they begin, but I have had awkward exits at the end after couples will occasionally have things. men will be competitive men, and it's mm-hmm. unfortunate. But we deal with them as gracefully as we can.
Every once in a while, we also just have a group that's like, can we play in our underwear? Sure, why not?
Yeah, immediately after you guys played, we got a last-minute booking of a bachelor party that wanted to come in, and the first thing they were going to do is blindfold the bachelor and take all of their... Well, not all of their... They left their shorts on, thank God. I had to watch that game. It was fun.
All right, so they... I don't know if that would enhance... I don't think that would enhance my puzzle-solving skills if I were in my underwear.
I think some of them were really comfortable with it, way more than the other ones. And I think the ones who were not as comfortable with it did better at the game because they really wanted to finish so they could put their pants back on.
That makes sense.
Like an added incentive.
Yeah.
All right. Now, and I also have to, in the new facility at 1342 North Milwaukee, where the new games, the rail car is still at 1579
North Milwaukee in the Flatiron Arts Building.
Are all the rooms right in where we were the other night?
Yes.
Okay, so they're all down the halls. And
you guys went down the hall and turned earlier than if you were to go to the other time periods.
All right.
Yes, we've got a total of 6 different wormholes, 4 of which are activated currently at the time gallery
to get you
to different time periods. Yeah.
All right, since you guys watch all these different groups, let's take a quick break. We know when we left the other night, you said you had taken some notes about our group.
Yes.
So we have not told people if we succeeded in our mission or not, so we'll share that and you can give us our feedback. Escape-artistry.com is the website. Go and check out. They've got Roaring Dance Pirate Dungeon, Detective versus Dillinger. Is that still, that's running? The Dollhouse, Operation Granny, and the rail car is at the original location, a couple blocks further north on Milwaukee. And then the Duck and Cover Classroom is coming at the end of August. So go there. It's great. Even if you only have 2 people, you can join another group. That's a nice thing. Last year when we were there, we played with people we didn't know. This year we just had the group of people that we knew. It was still a lot of fun, but it was fun last year with people you don't know because all of a sudden, if you're all trapped in one room, you become fast friends, or at least people who are going to work together rather quickly. So let's take this break, and then we'll come back, and we will continue talking with Maren Rosenberg and Melissa Schlesinger from Escape Artistry, escape-artistry.com. There's your website. Maren Rosenberg is here. Melissa Schlesinger is here.
Yo.
They are the Master of Mayhem and the Officer of Obstacles. Those are their titles. I don't know what they mean, as always, but we know Melissa's the lead designer, and Maren is the brains behind
owner and manager.
Is that what we go? All right. See, why don't you just put that? It's so much easier.
It's not nearly as fun,
but for a guy like me who struggles with puzzles, that would have been much easier than trying to figure that out.
You know, I wouldn't say you struggled with puzzles. We saw you on Friday, and I think you did really well.
Well, thank you. All right, so Melissa, I mentioned you, as we were leaving, and Cody and I have not discussed this on the air. We didn't tell people whether we did well or not. So we went through this, and I'll let you talk about it because I don't want to give anything away. And you and Maren can, but you took some notes. So what did you see?
I did take some notes. After you guys went through your training and got sent out on your mission to 1908 to help us take care of this strange anomaly that we've detected in this hideout of the notorious pirate Roaring Dan Seavey, who's a real dude, by the way. There was a guy in actual 1900s, early 1900s, late 1800s, who like owned bars and fought a lot and actually crashed a lot of boats and stole their stuff and sold them here in Chicago.
Very nice.
So, you know, he's a pirate. And we got to go investigate this stuff. So we sent you guys out there, and you guys achieved your mission.
We did. We finished up with how much time to go?
There were 3 minutes and 51 seconds left on the clock.
That's pretty good.
Woo-woo!
We've succeeded. I guess it doesn't. You could succeed with 1 second left on the clock or 5 minutes left on the clock.
It is a pass-fail mission.
That's it.
Yes.
So we passed, which is good.
I like to say instead of failing, you just get an alternate ending.
That's true.
Yeah, but we didn't want that. We wanted to. I wanted to win.
You did well.
I did. I wanted to win. So
Team Booty Bandits.
Yeah,
that was not. If you guys want to find them on Instagram,
that was not my doing.
Escape.artistry. You'll see Team Booty Bandits.
I was not a fan of that name, but that was Cody and John.
It was foreshadowing the underwear party that was to come.
I guess it was. Yeah. So
Team Briefs.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Excellent storytelling. We really appreciate storytelling.
Thank you. Listen, we try our best. That's what we do here. We just tell stories.
So far as the game itself, though, what I had to say is that you guys were a super balanced team. You guys kind of, I think I described it to Maren earlier as sort of spiraling through the game, because whenever someone would get caught up on something and not be able to figure it out, someone kind of traded out for that person.
Okay.
Which is a great, you know, when we watch a lot of these games, it's a great technique for how to solve something. You get stuck on something, you switch onto something else, someone takes over, you share the knowledge that you've learned as you've tried to figure this out, and then those alternate perspectives work together to actually solve the game. So you guys did I don't know how many games you've played at this point, if you've only played ours.
Two. I've only played yours. And Cody, have you done others?
You've learned. You're doing better already.
I've done a number of others. I've done from probably four or five different companies. I do them at least a few times a year. And these legitimately, the between the production value and the balance of the difficulty of the puzzles, I have preferred Escape Artistry is probably at the top, if not like tied with two or three, maybe total. But they're really good. I mean, they really kind of nail it in terms of where that difficulty lands and everything. Because it is tricky to make puzzles, logic puzzles and number puzzles and riddles and stuff that people can get, but time it because you've got that 60-minute window and you can't have people with like 20 minutes left, but you can't make it like impossible. So I mean, the rail car was really great. I thought this one was even better. I really liked the pirate one, and I will probably come back to another one of the
we've got three more.
I know.
Soon to be four. Thanks so much. That means a lot. Knowing how many games that you play in general, having stalked you on Twitter to see that you are on like two other blogs about gaming, that means a lot. My quote that I wanted to quote, now that we've heard Cody's voice, because I heard this in my headphones while we were playing the game, is when you first got, try not to spoil things, at some point through the game, you got into an area of the room where you were just like, this is nice. I would live here. And I think it was Casey that said, isn't it pretty? And then Brian, just moments later, was like, until they kill us, not forgetting that there's pirates coming after you guys. Right, and
see,
that was just a great
I got to
little
keep them on track. They get all scattered. Listen, that beep that we heard means that we are unfortunately out of time. We got to get to the news. But I can't stress enough, it's a lot of fun, and it's for all ages. You know, last year when Cody pitched this and you guys came in, I was like, oh, maybe I'm too old for this. You're not too old for this. If you have a brain, if you can think, if you enjoy puzzles, if you enjoy just trying to figure things out, these escape rooms are for you. They're so much fun, and you guys have done a great job with them. Escape-artistry.com is the website. They've got five different rooms going right now, another one coming in August. So you got to go check them out and have a lot of fun. Take a group. Ladies, it's always a pleasure. Hopefully we don't have to wait another year before we see you again. This was a lot of fun. Thank you for Friday night and continued success with the projects. It's great.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. You're welcome back anytime.
Well, thank you. All right, let's do this, and then it's news time on WGN. If you are looking for something entertaining and unique to do in the next couple weeks, you need to get up to the Music Box Theater on Southport, because their 70mm Film Festival, it started on Friday, and it's running through July 15th. All movies in 70mm. Now, you and I may not know what that means. I'm not really. I kind of know, but not really. But Buck Lepard is the Senior Operations Manager at the Music Box Theater, and he is in the studio with us now. Buck, welcome. Thanks for coming in on a holiday weekend.
Thanks,
I appreciate
very much
it.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
Let's, first, before we get to this fantastic festival, the 70mm Film Festival at the Music Box Theater, you are also the man who helped Cody in his quest for an unusual engagement. So we owe you, Cody owes you a debt of gratitude. But we found the story wonderful. When Cody came in and asked you if he could do this, did you want to just shoo him off? Did you want to call the authorities? What'd you think when a gangly guy like Cody comes in and goes, hey, can I hijack your marquee for a day?
Well, as a gangly guy myself, I sympathize. If we find someone who wants to spend the rest of their life with us, we got to jump on.
There you go. Yes, that makes sense.
I got an email from Cody saying he was, looking to propose. Him and his then girlfriend are both big fans of the Music Box, and they wanted to. He was very clear. He wanted to propose somewhere that was special to both of them, and that they would go to often. So every time they go there, they can have that happy memory associated with it. So, rather than proposing on top of a mountain or somewhere right. You're never going to be again, anytime they come to the Music Box, they've got that memory of it as well.
That's very cool. And so you did it, and it went off without a hitch, and everything was great. So thank you. Yeah. You made for a good story.
Yeah.
Made for
my
a very good
pleasure.
Story. All right, let's turn to this 70mm, because for people who are not cinephiles or not big film buffs, we've heard the term. We know it's some sort of aspect. What exactly is 70mm, and why is it important to hold a festival around it?
Mm-hmm. Well, 70mm, it's a type of film. Most movies are shot digitally these days,
right.
The same way you would take a photo on your camera or a photo on your phone. But these were movies that were made on film and printed on film. prior to 70mm, which became really popular in the 1960s, movies were projected on 35mm, okay. And then television came along, and movies decided we needed to do something to compete with television, and 70mm was a way of offering a bigger picture, a larger depth of field in the picture, basically just a bigger, wider, better show at the movies. So something to get folks away from the TV and out to the theaters.
It's got to be a lot more expensive then, right? Is that kind of why it fell away from being more popular?
Yeah, film in general is expensive. Shooting on 70 is very expensive. And also, you know, when you've got a much bigger, crisper image, you know, little details are very apparent. And so you have less room for error within 70mm as well, because as an audience, you can really see everything that's going on in the frame.
And so to put on a festival like this, you have regular screens at the Music Box Theater. Mm-hmm. Do you need a special screen for a 70mm film?
We don't necessarily need a special screen, but we do have one.
Okay.
A year and a half ago, when Quentin Tarantino filmed the Western, The Hateful Eight,
yes,
on 70mm.
That's when a lot of people, I shouldn't say a lot of people, that's when I started hearing the term more and more. It was a big deal. He made a huge deal out of it, and only certain theaters were showing it in 70mm.
Yeah, he was the first person in about 20 years to shoot a movie on 70mm. And part of that, you know, because he wanted like that grand 1960s epic Western feel.
Yeah.
And so that's why he chose, and being a big cinephile himself, you know, that's why he chose that way of shooting. And the aspect ratio, which is, you know, the size of the screen, the, you know, length by width of it, that varies from movie to movie and film to film. And he shot on a very wide aspect ratio.
Okay.
So because of that, we realized, well, if we really want to do this film justice, we should get a larger screen than the one we currently have. The one we currently have is 29 feet long, 29 feet wide. And so we installed a temporary one that was 37 feet wide.
Oh, geez.
To make it really fill the screen, really fill the space.
And does that affect the seating in the theater, or
we lose a few rows of seats in the front because we don't want people to be craning their necks all the way up. We're sympathetic to that.
Right, and you, with a format that big, I'm guessing the further back you sit, probably the better, right? Does it matter?
It still falls a bit to personal preference.
Yeah.
I know some folks who love being right up on it, and, you know, able to see, you know, every grain and every crinkle, and then people who like sitting further back and being able to take in the image as a whole and pick out the different little details.
That's me. I don't, too close, I feel like I'm missing out on parts of the shot, because I can only see this little, you know, my head's spinning around like a goof,
yeah, exactly.
You know? But I like sitting a little further back. What about the film itself? Because I read something that it's obviously, because you said it's bigger, it's got to be really heavy, too.
Yep. Each reel, you know, those cans of film that they come in, each one is about, you know, contains about 20 minutes of film, and they can be up to 30 or 40 pounds. So every 20 minutes of film is about 40 pounds for a 70mm film.
So your projectionist has been working out in advance of the festival, getting ready.
Yep. And we operate on a reel-to-reel system, which means, you know, we set up a reel on one of our projectors, and then we have two other projectors that, while one reel is going, we are setting up the next reel. And when you know, they talk about it in Fight Club, the little cigarette burn for a reel change over in the corner, every time one of those comes up is with us switching the reel.
Now that's got to be with digital, doesn't work the same way, does it?
Nope. Digital is a lot of times we'll get what's called a DCP.
Okay.
And that's essentially, you know, a hard drive. We plug it into our big computer system and ingest it, and then it comes out of a digital projector we have that hangs above our regular projectors.
Oh. This has got to be when your projectionist gets to do something like this that you don't do all the time, it's got to be kind of exciting, kind of hassle and exciting all at the same time.
Yep. I mean, we've got a great crew of projectionists. They love to work. They're part of the reason, they're the only reason we've been able to bring this festival back time and time again, is they're really passionate. They love being able to, you know, get their hands dirty and, you know, look at these reels, unload all these things. One of our projectionists runs our Instagram account, which if you go to it, you'll see a lot of photos of like close up of film frames from when we're inspecting them.
So they come in, and now, so for example, to start the festival off has been 2001: A Space Odyssey.
Yes.
Now that was shot by Kubrick in 70mm,
yes,
right? So that comes in, you order it, and it's all fixed up. What do you, when you say inspect it, do you go through every inch of the, of all the reels?
Essentially, that one's a 2001 this year is a special case. We've shown it before at previous 70mm festivals, and it's always been a highlight. Screenings always sell out for it. And we've been doing this for about 3 or 4 years now, and we decided, you know, we're always going to keep showing this movie. We don't want to risk, because these films, a lot of times, you know, they can be in storage or they can be coming from other places, and we don't know how they're being cared for.
Yeah.
And film is a very fragile medium. You know, people do the best they can, but every now and then, you know, if a piece of dirt gets caught in a projector, it might scrape along an entire 20-minute segment of film. So we wanted to get rid of that risk. So we actually, we talked with Fox, and we ordered our own brand-new print of 2001.
That can't be cheap.
No, it's a bit of an investment. We had to do the math to be like, all right, how many times will we have to play this? How many tickets will we have to sell to break even?
Wow.
But we've got it now. It's
pristine.
In-house. Yeah. We ran it on Friday. It was the first time it had ever been run. But it's just impeccable. But yeah,
I was going to say, could you see the difference? I mean, not only because it's in 70mm, but could you see the difference, say, from the print you showed last year to this now brand new print that you guys have at the Music Box?
Yeah, because even with, you know, rare prints that are cared for very well, inevitably, you know, some of these have been around for in between 20 and 50 years. So there's going to be just regular wear and tear from getting played in projectors. You know, it might be a little faded. But we do, we very diligently check everything. Our first 70mm festival back in 2012, we actually were not able to do that as much as we would have liked to. We were still sort of experimenting with, like, what we could account for in terms of, like, shipping difficulties that might come with 70mm. And on opening day, there was a power outage in the middle of the afternoon on our block. So we were taken out of commission for about 4 hours. So now we, you know, do the best we can of, you know, running through each reel at least once during after hours or before we open for the day and making sure everything looks good.
The 70mm Film Festival is going on at the Music Box Theater now through July 15th. If you go to musicboxtheater.com, you can get the entire schedule. Buck Lepard is with me. He is the Senior Operation Manager at the Music Box Theater, which, of course, is located at 3733 North Southport. Musicboxtheater.com. We'll get into some of the highlights of the festival. Talk about some of the films you can go see during this fine festival. We'll do that after this on WGN. Now people are going to think Elvis is coming on. That, of course, a theme from 2001, A Space Odyssey, which is the 70mm film that is opening the 70mm Film Festival at the Music Box Theater, going on now through July 15th. If you go to musicboxtheater.com, you can get all the information. Buck Lepard is the Senior Operations Manager. He's in the studio with us to talk about the festival. We mentioned 2001, A Space Odyssey. You guys have done that one before. And that's playing through the 6th, right? So through Thursday?
That's playing through Thursday. You know, like we were saying, it's a brand new print, so we wanted to make sure people had plenty of opportunities to see it on our big screen.
And we mentioned this before, but you said you had an interesting anecdote to kind of clarify this. The difference of watching a digitally shot movie that most of us see, that's the movies we see, between that and seeing a film that's been shot in 70mm.
Yeah, a few years ago, what really reinvigorated this 70mm craze is Paul Thomas Anderson, director of Boogie Nights and There Will Be Blood. He had a movie called The Master with Philip Seymour Hoffman and Joaquin Phoenix that he shot on 70mm. And it was going to open in, you know, a few locations around the country. Chicago was not one of them. He found out, his company knows us a little bit. We pitched ourselves of like, hey, if you want to do something, we'd be happy to do it. So he actually came to us without alerting his distributor. He came to us and brought us a sneak preview of The Master in 70mm. We hadn't done it for a while. We spent a week making sure everything was up to snuff. And essentially, Paul got off a plane with some reels of film and came over to the Music Box. But he had a really great line to illustrate sort of the clarity you get with a 70mm film, as there was a scene where Joaquin Phoenix was wearing... He said, and I'm stealing this anecdote from someone else, but we were running the film, and he was like, if you watch this movie digitally, it looks like Joaquin Phoenix is wearing a blue jacket and blue pants, but if you watch it on 70mm, you can tell he's wearing a denim jacket and corduroy pants.
Wow. That much difference.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds good. Let's see some of the other Top Gun. Now, Top Gun was not shot in 70 millimeter, right?
That's correct. There was a time in the 80s where there was a bit of a revival for 70 millimeter, and so a lot of films that were shot on 35 millimeter at the time, you are capable of making blow up prints, is okay. What they call them. So they take a 35 millimeter film and then they put it on 70, so you can get, you know, a bit better picture, a bit clearer picture, but where you really get the difference for those prints is the sound. So we were running Top Gun earlier this week, just testing it out.
The sound has to be crazy.
It's phenomenal. It's going to blow the doors off the back of the theater.
And that's on July 7th. Friday, July 7th at 9:30 is Top Gun. This is interesting because some people may be going, well, I have younger kids, or I like movies that are geared a little younger. You've got Hook coming up tomorrow, but the one that really interests me is Sleeping Beauty. This is a very rare print, right, that you've got for this?
Yep, this is a very rare print of Sleeping Beauty. We believe it's the only one still out in circulation that, you know, is able. There might be some locked away in the Disney vault, but right. This is the only one that they're letting out there. It's the first time we've done an animated film for our 70mm festival.
Wow.
It was made in 70mm, and it's, you know, this beautiful, crisp animation and, you know, a really epic fairy tale, and people seem very excited for it, and so are we.
That's very cool, and so Sleeping Beauty will be on Saturday, July 8th at noon. You can still get some tickets, but they, I imagine, just like all the tickets for the 70mm Film Festival, they go quickly. So people need to get to musicboxtheater.com to get their tickets. You've got Spartacus in there, Shortcuts, West Side Story, Lord Jim, what are some of the other? Then you're wrapping it all up with a relatively new movie, which I guess surprised me because I the rest of the movie's a little bit older. Kong Skull Island is wrapping up the festival.
Yep, Kong Skull Island, which only came out in March this year. Warner Brothers has been doing a great thing where they'll take a lot of their blockbusters, which are shot digitally, but make 70mm prints of them. And we found out Kong Skull Island was one of them. We, you know, a few of our staff saw it, thought it was a great, fun adventure.
Yeah, I heard it was very good.
Yeah, and wanted to bring it into the festival. And, you know, we initially only had a couple screenings of that, but the director of the film, Jordan Vogt Roberts, has been to the Music Box before. He had a couple of indie films that played at festivals we did and, you know, did Q&As. And he found out, hey, I saw you guys are a mutual friend of ours, the critic Steve Procopi, put us in touch. And he was like, I heard you guys are doing Kong Skull Island in 70. I'm available. You know, I'd love to come out and do a Q&A afterwards. So he's going to be closing the festival for us on the 15th.
That's very cool. So he's coming in. He'll do that Q&A. So get, again, if that's something that interests you, you got to get your tickets quick because you'll say, oh, the people wait till the last minute. They always do, Buck. And then they're out of luck.
Yeah.
Because they missed out. But
It never hurts to buy tickets in advance.
Exactly. And if you don't know where the Music Box is, if you haven't been to the Music Box, 3733 North Southport, a wonderful place to see all kinds of film. If you're a fan of film, it's the place to go. And if you're a fan of 70mm, this is the time to go. The 70mm Film Festival running through July 15th at the Music Box Theater. Go to musicboxtheater.com to get all your tickets, get all the information. Maybe there's a film there that you read the description and go, wow, this sounds like something I really want to see. Because that's what happened. That as I was reading through some of these, I was like, oh, I've heard of this, and then I read the description. So that's what people need to do. Everything's there. It's almost too simple. You've made it too simple for people, Buck, but that's good.
We try and make it a relaxing evening out of the movies.
It should be, and it's wonderful, and it sounds great. And if you've never seen 2001 A Space Odyssey, as Buck said, this is a brand new print, never shown at any other theater, and that is running through the 6th of July. So through Thursday night, you can still get tickets for that. Sleeping Beauty, Top Gun, Agony and the Ecstasy, Spartacus, Interstellar. It's all there. It sounds like a wonderful festival. Good luck with it. Thank you for coming in. It's been a lot of fun. We'll talk again, I'm sure.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure.
Musicboxtheater.com to get your tickets for the 70mm Film Festival going on now through July 15th. Let's do this. Then Roger will talk if his headband is not just completely decapitated him. We'll find out in a minute on WGN. Karen Conti will be in here after 8 o'clock. Why? Because it's Sunday, and Karen likes to come in and answer your legal questions. That's why, because you have legal questions. And if you don't, why don't you go out and get in some trouble? And then in the next 25 minutes, then you can ask Karen a legal question. So there you go. How's your head, Roger? Everything working? Blood's still going okay?
Yeah, everything's fine.
We like to check in. They tell us during the hot weather and anytime weird head scarves are involved to check on the elderly. So that's what we're doing, the elderly and the infirm.
We have one of my Facebook followers for a split second when he saw the picture I posted, thought I looked like Willie Nelson.
Willie Nelson?
Yeah.
Hello, yeah, buddy. All right. I'll
with
give
the
you
beard,
that.
Sure, a little bit.
You okay?
Does he wear glasses? He doesn't wear glasses, I don't. Does he?
I don't think so. I haven't hung out with Willie in a while.
Yeah.
And usually when
I remember the story.
When I did, it was he, myself, Snoop D-O-double-G, and we were high on the chronic.
Oof.
So I didn't really have. Their eyes were red. That's all I knew.
Yeah, didn't pay
much
attention.
And they were really almost closed.
Yeah.
So I wasn't. Yeah, and I wasn't checking out their spectacles.
Nah.
You know, I was just trying to see if Snoop was going to, you know, pass the Dutchie on the left-hand side, as the kids like to say. If the kids are from Jamaica. In 1976. I love Michigan Avenue because you never know what you're going to see. We saw a man walking a goat a little bit earlier, which is unusual.
Wow.
I just saw a guy on stilts wrapped in newspaper with a giant tiger head on the back of him. I don't know what that's about.
Wow.
Who knows?
Looking for a parade?
Well, maybe he doesn't know that you're the MC of the big Skokie 4th of July parade. It could get him in.
If the stilts were tall enough, I would have talked to him through the window.
No, they were little. They were like drywaller stilts.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, about a couple 3 feet.
3 feet?
The drywaller stilts. I may move to Idaho. I'm very excited. Well, because starting yesterday, a new law makes it legal to speed in Idaho.
Oh.
And if you've ever been to Idaho, you kind of want to get through there quick, let's be honest. Beautiful state, but there, you know, you just want to drive fast. I love speeding. You know?
A lot of space in between towns, one might say.
Well, I love it. I love driving. I love driving in the open road.
Right.
Like up in Montana or even down in Texas through the Southwest, the desert. I don't care. I love driving where there's nobody else because, one, I don't think most people are good drivers. Two, I enjoy the activity of driving. And I enjoy being able to, at least for a split second, take my eyes off the lane in front of me and look at the scenery.
Yeah.
Where you can't do that around. Like, we'll be driving somewhere and my wife will say, oh, look at that. I go, I can't.
Yeah.
Because for whatever reason, the guy in front of me is texting and hitting his brakes every 7 seconds for no reason because nothing's in front of him. But that's neither here nor there. The point is, I've been to Boise. Have you ever been to Boise? Is that one of the places you've ever traveled, Cody? Boise, Idaho? Had a wonderful wonderful grilled cheese in Boise, Idaho once.
We didn't stop.
I am like 117 years old. Had a beautiful blue cheese. Oh, there you go, Cody.
I've never been to Idaho, but I have seen Napoleon Dynamite.
All right, that's close enough.
Yeah.
Close enough.
I feel like I've been there.
It's a beautiful town, Boise. I spent a couple of weeks there one day. And, well, anyway, now you can speed. It gives because, but it has its specific situations. Motorists now have the flexibility to exceed the posted speed limit on highways where the speed limit is posted at 55 miles or more to safely compete a pass on a slower moving vehicle. So say I come up behind you and I'm doing 55, 60 in a 55 and you're doing 52 or 50 or God forbid something slower. I can drop the hammer and blow past you. Supposedly, without anything. You can speed up to 15 miles per hour over the posted limit to make your pass. I'm assuming then you have to slow back down. But I think you should be able to, once you drop the hammer, you shouldn't have to pull back. Now I keep thinking of Top Gun and feeling the need for speed. That's why I gotta get to Idaho.
Wait, what did you say the top speed was? That they were going to allow?
No, 15 miles per hour over the posted speed limit. So say it's 70.
Right.
That means you could go to 85 miles per hour to pass, which I think is great.
I've never needed a law to do that.
Of course not. But I like that Idaho is now sanctioning this. Here you just do it.
Right.
You pray. You close your eyes and pray. That's how I pass.
Now, when we used to drive down to Carbondale, down and back home before you hit the big city, the speed limit.
The city of what, Evansville?
Kankakee.
Centralia?
The speed limit was 70 miles an hour back then.
The
entire state.
I love the 70 mile an hour speed limit. Because that means I go 80.
We could get back home. Used to be like a four and a half hour ride with the slower speed limit.
Right.
We used to do it in like 3 hours.
Yeah, you could do it 3.5. Yeah. I think that was the fastest I ever did at 3.5.
Yeah.
Roger, did you do it wearing that bandana, riding a motorcycle?
Of course he did.
No.
He got his motor running. He set out on the highway. He was looking for adventure.
Yeah.
And whatever came his way.
That's right.
Lord knows he's going to make it happen.
Wow.
Get the world in a love embrace, Cody.
I just picture Roger
Ryan. He's going to fire all of his guns at once and explode into space.
All right. Explode into
space. Because he's a true nature's child. He was born, Cody, born to be wild.
Mm-hmm.
And he will fly so high.
Mm.
He's never going to die.
Wow, you just did.
How do you like that?
Whoa.
That was not scripted. That wasn't scripted at all. That was spoken word.
Wait, that was in the script right here. What are you talking about? Oh, sorry. Sorry.
Stop ad libbing.
Totally.
Yeah,
totally.
Just hit him.
Because right now people are going to go, oh, so it was all. It was all right now. We thought he just did Born to be Wild in a weird staccato William Shatner sing-speak off the top of his head, where this was the result of like 5 hours of meetings. With management approved every line and all the inflection, and my acting coach is actually sitting across from me telling me when to go high and when to go low.
Yeah, well, how did they rate it?
I should be earning. What's the radio equivalent of an Oscar? There is none, because people don't listen.
That's right.
Doesn't matter. Anyway.
Wait, you can get a Grammy for the spoken word.
That's it. I want a spoken word Emmy.
I thought it was modern day musical.
Modern day musical is the...
That's how I describe your delivery right there.
Oh. Modern day musical. Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
So I'd be up for a Tony.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Oh.
Multi-award winner.
Look at that. How far away am I from an EGOT? An E, a G, an O, and a T. I'm all of them. I'm all of them away from an EGOT. All right. That doesn't matter. So anyway, back to Idaho, which is where people are praying I get my next radio job. Can't you go work in some small Idaho town, like in a bunker, maybe only broadcasting to three survivalists? Yeah, that's more of a conversation, less of a show, but, you know, I keep my options open. I never know what's going to come in the new year. There's some rules for this. First, you can only be driving a passenger car, motorcycle, or pickup. Second, you can't be towing anything when you make the pass. And third, the car you're passing has to be going under the posted speed limit. Well, how would I know
that? Yeah.
How am I, you know, what am I going to take? I'm not carrying a speed gun. I'm just going to guess if they're going slower than me, they're going under the posted speed limit.
Well, if you are driving up on them and your speedometer says 70 and you're getting close to them, you know they're doing under the speed limit, so then you can pass them.
Yeah. Well, sure.
That's how, yeah.
I've disappointed a listener because I said I like to speed. I can't
help
it.
Why?
I don't know,
you don't do it to endanger anyone.
I'm not one of these road racers. I'm not going 100 down the Eisenhower and weaving in and out of traffic. But I also, you know, I tend to go. I go with what the police theoretically give you, which is like 8 miles over.
Approximately. Yeah.
It's all an estimate.
Out on the open road.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm not speeding through a school zone.
No.
I'm not
those flying 10 feet over the speed bumps?
I'm not doing that. But if I get the chance on the expressway to drop the hammer a little bit, I'm going to do it.
Also, you're safer than people who drive the speed limit while texting.
Oh, my God. Yes.
You're not on your phone.
Please. Yeah. Would you rather have me going 65 in a 55 or somebody going 50 looking at their phone and texting and drifting in and out of different lanes? I know it's not an either or, but I just made it an either or. All right. So that's why we should all go to Idaho. Where we could just speed.
At least just to speed.
But is it speeding if
it's legal? No, if you're passing.
Legal?
Well, there's, see, no, it's not.
So now you're not speeding.
I wouldn't be speeding. I would just say I'm passing everybody.
You're going faster than the other guy.
I would say there are a lot of invisible cars that are going very slow, so slow that you can't see them. And so I had to speed by everybody. And then they would take me in for having hallucinations while I was driving.
Or maybe John Cena's driving around in Idaho.
Oh, and I don't see him.
Because you can't see him.
I can't see John Cena. But I can't see Roger's wrestler headband. I can't unsee it.
Hey, brother.
That's the problem. We cannot unsee Roger dressed like a 1980s, like, fourth-tier regional wrestler that's in a grade school gym or a Holiday Inn banquet hall in Paducah on a Sunday evening. That's what I can't see.
Look at them guns.
I can't see Roger dressed like an extra from the Mickey Rourke film, The Wrestler. Did you just say, look at those guns? You'd never show a Derringer, Roger. A Derringer is so tiny you just keep it in your shirt sleeve.
Yeah, but they're deadly.
Are they?
They can be at close range.
You'd have to be right up on somebody.
I know.
You have to actually put you have to push the Derringer like halfway into someone's head and then pull the trigger for it to actually do any damage. Now firearms aficionados are going to be texting that is completely inaccurate. I know.
And we're not promoting the use of guns.
Or pushing a Derringer into
somebody's head. No.
We're not.
No.
We're not?
No.
Oh, all right.
Stop smart.
Well, it's the 4th of July. We're going to blow things up.
Aren't you? No, not that way.
All right, listen. We've got to take a... No, we're not going to do it. We're not taking a break.
We're not going to do it. We're not going to do it.
Oh,
we're going rogue.
What a rebel.
We're going rogue.
All right.
I've been waiting for this for 8 years.
When the rules go out the window and anarchy reigns on WGN Radio, it's sometime between 6 and 9 on a Sunday night. And people say, why would anarchy reign at that weird time? I don't know. When do you want anarchy to reign? Can't have anarchy reigning during drive times. It's too bad. Too tight a clock.
You upset too many people.
This is the time when anarchy can reign.
Yeah.
Because, you know, especially on a holiday weekend, Sunday, people are in their cars. If you're stuck in traffic somewhere, you want anarchy to reign. You also want to know what's happening across the country, perhaps in one of your favorite places.
Ejected state songs.
Come to Florida and die.
All the good stories come from Florida. It's America's trailer park. You know that.
Woo! Uh-oh, Brian sees some blips on his Floridar. Get ready to go from classy to trashy. This is Florida News.
Woo! Oh, my goodness. I'll be honest. Every time my wife and I discuss relocating to somewhere warm, we broach the topic of Florida very quickly. And then I remember that how many years have we been doing Florida News? Since sometime in late 76, I think we started. With the bicentennial of this country, we began talking about Florida News. Right now, people on Michigan Avenue looking through the window are going, he doesn't look old enough to have been doing radio in the late 70s. I appreciate that, folks. Thanks. I'm very well preserved. But I start to think to myself, all the years we've been doing Florida News, I could not possibly move to that state. And I know people will say, oh, but there's good parts of Florida. Sure, there are, but you're still under the umbrella of Florida.
The highway out of it?
Well, my brother, one of my brothers and my sister-in-law bought a home on an island in Florida. It seems very nice. I'm waiting till I see him in Florida News. Then I will know that it doesn't matter who you are. It's the state and the climate that do it to you. It's not breeding, it's environment. All right, here we go. And now we've got some children out in front of the window, which takes away, which means you can't do a lot of Florida News, because a lot of Florida News, very, very adult-oriented.
Mm-hmm.
This one, for example, very adult-oriented. So I'll have to change it up a little bit. Jacksonville, Florida. A Jacksonville man accidentally shot himself in his man, did he?
Wow.
Yes, early Friday morning. How do you accidentally shoot yourself there? Well, I'll tell you. He sat on a gun in the driver's seat of his car. Right there. Now, you could use his story to make some sort of argument for gun control. I guess the gun control I would say is don't leave your gun sitting on the driver's seat of your car if you have a gun. I don't know much about weaponry. I'm guessing that's not a good thing. The TV station down there reported that Cedric Jelks, he's 38. He was taken to the hospital the other night by his girlfriend, who told police that Jelks was sitting in his Nissan Altima. And I'm glad we get now Nissan suddenly pulled into this story. They want nothing to do with the Jelks saga. But he was sitting in the Nissan Altima all by himself, and he came into their home in a panic and ran straight to the bathroom. I would be screaming so loud, there'd be no way I just go into the bathroom. I make a huge production right there in the foyer that I've shot myself in my man cookie, and things have gotten very, very bad. She followed him in and saw that he had shot himself in his, hanging down. And, oh my goodness. So she took him to the hospital. He underwent surgery. He told her he sat on the gun, which accidentally went off. Again, how do you accidentally sit on a gun? This story has a lot of holes in it, no pun intended. And not the hole that he put in himself in a place that you never want a hole. He got to the hospital right around, the police were called about 3 a.m. because of the gunshot wound. He was also found that he had been convicted in the past of cocaine possession. So who knows about that. But accidentally sitting on a gun. I've done a few things by accident. Sitting on a gun and shooting myself in the nether regions is not one of them. I know Cody's getting... Cody, Roger, you've never seen Cody look so nervous.
He's like, I've never seen him nervous.
He's like, it's still light out. And
he's always so laid back.
I cleaned that up.
You were great. I couldn't think of a pun.
I cleaned it up for broadcast radio.
No, I'm upset with myself. I couldn't think of a single pun.
Really?
To make about the gun and that area.
His pistol, getting shot by a pistol?
Yeah.
You didn't think of that?
No, I don't like that one.
This is my weapon, this is my gun, this is for fun? If I go all full Metal Jacket on you?
I haven't
which
seen
I like
that.
To do.
Oh man,
I've already sing talked Born to Be Wild. Don't make me reenact Full Metal Jacket. Because I will. I'm feeling very theatrical on this holiday weekend. You know, because it's America's birthday, so maybe I'll break into a number from 1776, or I'll do some more Hamilton. You never know what I'll do on the 4th of July. That's why you got to keep living. A Bonita Springs, Florida woman was arrested after deputies say she hid a baggie of meth in her buttocks as she was being booked into jail. So we just go from the front to the back. Stay in the same region, much like Florida, and just go from the front to the back. Deputies pulled over Summer Adamson after someone reported she broke their car window. A syringe and heroin were found next to Adamson inside her car. They searched her when she got to jail, and they say, this is the worst part of the story. Now, remember where the baggie was? Remember? She got to jail, she grabbed the baggie, put it in her mouth, and started chewing. We're not going to elaborate on that story at all.
Okay.
No, go ahead. Do you have something?
Nope.
You got one for that one?
No. There was no pun.
You didn't have one for the shooting in the weeds.
I was going to ask if you could clarify if she threw the actual bag in her
baggie.
Mouth.
Put the baggie. Grab the baggie, put it in her mouth, and started chewing.
Oh, man.
The whole thing. It was, yeah. Florida news, gross. This is more fun, though, than gross. Do we talk about the cop who got arrested by his own department for trying to pick up a hooker?
No.
All right, we don't talk about that one? The cop whose department has been doing undercover stings for prostitution and got caught up in the undercover sting by his own department? We don't talk about that one? That seems like it would be dumb. We won't talk about that St. Petersburg policeman, though. We won't do it. We'll talk about the graffiti artist who is drawing triple arse graffiti.
Yeah, what? I saw that headline, and I'm very confused.
All right, well, let's get on to it. The triple arse graffiti. This is in St. Petersburg, too. You know, the town where the cop we didn't talk about, who got picked up for picking up a prostitute in an undercover sting. We didn't talk about that. St. Petersburg, Florida, they're battling an onslaught of graffiti depicting a three-buttocked arse. I can say that, can I? Sure. Three-buttocked. It's thought to be the calling card of a single anonymous artist. Well, that's good that there's not copycats. You don't want to think this is a ring of graffiti artists who are paying, you know what we're going to do? We are going to terrorize the city by drawing three buttocked arses. But the police say, listen, this is not a joke. They are breaking the law. In a statement from the police department and from the TV station, St. Pete is a city known for its beautiful art and stunning murals. Well, maybe this would qualify. Three arse mural. Is that a band at Lollapalooza this week? Or this year?
This is the morning team at one of the stations marching in the parade with Roger.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Roger, are those some big celebrities?
Yeah.
Three arse buttocked?
Oh, definitely. We're flying them in just for it.
Wow, that's
great. Yeah, they get a center position in the parade so that everyone can see
them. Are they right after Kaplan or right before him?
Oh, no, they're a ways back.
Or is he one of them? Anyway, that was uncalled for. Many people are upset by this new graffiti involving a tush fiend. They do a tush.
Say it again.
A tush trend.
Thank you.
They don't like the fact that the bold buttocks are suddenly everywhere. Who would? This is not odd at all, said one woman. It's vandalism. There should be consequences. You can't just take it upon yourself to do whatever you want to, another man said. Dun dun dun. So that's going on in St. Petersburg, and then there was another guy. This is not a Florida man. This is the Florida police. Oviedo, Florida, a professional handyman was stopped by the police. He told the cops that the white powder in the footwells of his truck was just drywall powder. He was a probationer, though, with a drug conviction, so they brought him into jail. Had to wait 90 days till they finally did the test, and you know what it was? Yeah, it was drywall powder from his job. So they arrested him and held him for 90 days for nothing. So that is why we do not, like I said, every time I think about going to Florida, then I just, I say no. Too much Florida news. All right, listen, Karen Conti is going to be coming up on the other side of the news. And she will be answering your legal questions. 312-981-7200 is how you get those in. And again, if you're not doing anything Sunday, let's get one more plug in for your parade, Roger, because you are the M. Oh, we got a break before he plugs?
Well, Roger's plugs tend to take a while. We got a break.
All right, we got a break. Get your plug ready concise. Can you do a concise plug?
I'm ready for 10 seconds.
No, do it in a couple of minutes here.
Okay.
All right, Roger, 10-second plug. Go.
Tuesday, 10 a.m., Lincoln Avenue and Oakton in Skokie, the Skokie 4th of July Parade. I'll be your MC, and you're going to have a great time.
Great time. Patty Vasquez will be there. David Kaplan, Mark Silverberg, a lot of other celebrities.
Rob Johnson.
From
Channel 2.
Sure. Another TV.
Yeah.
Competing TV station. Any other competitors you want to mention, Roger?
Not that I know of.
Roger's EMC.
We've got a lot of WGN people who are going to be with Patty.
It's going to be wonderful.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot of fun, and Roger does a great job. So go, if you're up in that area, if you're anywhere near there, go to the Skokie Parade on the 4th of July. Congratulations on doing that again.
Thank you.
All right. And I want to see a picture of the suit. All right. This Karen Conti after the news, 312-981-7200. Get your legal questions in now. It is Sunday night after the 8 o'clock news. That means Karen Conti has joined us, and Karen is going to answer your legal questions. I'm going to answer the phone. That's the partnership we have. It's worked out well so far. I think it's going gangbusters. Welcome back. You've been vacationing a little bit, but you came back. We should tell people. Let's show your dedication. You came back just for this, and then you're leaving town immediately after?
Exactly.
So you'll be airlifted back?
I will be airlifted back to my vacation spot and join it in progress. Yeah, I came back just for the show, Brian.
That's
Do you feel
nice.
Guilty?
No,
because I'm trying to make
I'm here.
Feel guilty.
Why? I'm here. I didn't make either one of us come in. I'm a worker bee. I
have a day job.
Right. Well, you could have taken the day off. I got to, you know, I'm working. But I'm here. Anyway, so you're here. You're enjoying the 4th of July. Are you blowing anything up? I know you're in your vacation place. Are fireworks legal?
Yeah, they are. And all the way driving up there, there are the fireworks displays and firework for sale all the way up.
You ever stop?
You know what? I don't really like fireworks. Like, I love going to the fireworks.
Yes.
But blowing things up doesn't do anything for me. In fact, there was something on Facebook that was the grossest thing I saw. It was like pictures of people's hands right from the hospital.
Yeah,
after
no.
they. I just don't find it interesting to blow things up myself.
Right.
To
no,
be
I want
distance,
to go see the.
You know.
I want to see the professional
yeah.
pyrotechnic shows.
Yeah, that's what I want to see.
Yeah, will there be one in the town you're in? Do they have fireworks?
There already was one last night,
oh, nice.
And I think they're going to do another one on the 4th.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah,
very nice. So you'll be well. Hopefully, you'll be back in time.
Yes.
All right. Good. 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 A lot going on this week.
Yes.
I don't know where to begin, but let's start for everybody who is now reaching for a Coke or some sort of sugary beverage in Cook County. You might have to pay that penny an ounce, but not right now because a judge has stepped in.
Yes.
What's the deal?
Well, a bunch of people got together and filed for an injunction, meaning they wanted to stop that tax from going into effect. And basically, they were arguing a few things. One was that it's unfair, that you can't tax this and not that.
Mm-hmm.
Also, that there's no mechanism so that if the tax were to be declared unconstitutional for some reason, which a lot of these taxes are,
okay.
there would be no mechanism to give back the money to all the consumers
oh.
who have already paid, because who keeps a receipt for a Coke?
Exactly.
So based upon that and several other reasons, the judge enjoined, meaning stopped, the effect of the tax. And there's going to be a hearing in a couple of weeks to determine whether or not it's valid and enforceable.
What, in your opinion, what do you think at this point?
You know, I have a hard time with these because they're all over the board. I just think that... my guess is it's going to be stricken down. The judge, by enjoining the effect of it, I think he's giving an opinion in some ways that he thinks this might have success on the merits, meaning that it might be unconstitutional. And I do think that it's kind of arbitrary. Yes, of course
yeah.
they need the money in their coffers. I know all you people are probably getting ready to call me and say, but we need money in the county. We need to pay for things. Yes, we do, but taxing, you know, soda and not candy bars or not something else.
Or
really,
or not a sweet, sugary drink from, say, Starbucks as I look across the street.
Which is
those
exactly the same. And,
yeah.
and you don't, if you go to a bar and you order a Coke, it's not taxed.
Right.
So there's all kinds of things that are inequitable that the retailers and others are going to be arguing.
Yeah, it's one of those... I guess, sin tax, and they go, but it's unhealthy to drink all these sugary beverages. That's not the point. The point is you're trying to take more money from us when in something that a lot of people, you know, use all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, if I want to have a Coke, that doesn't mean it's going to kill me.
No.
But I shouldn't have to pay more. Or if I'm taking, you know, if my family is having a picnic and I'm buying a few 2-liter bottles of pop, I shouldn't have to pay more than somebody who is buying some other sugary treats that might be worse for you. And not having to pay.
Absolutely. Yeah, and so, but, you know, the judge will, you know, is a very good judge who's on the case, is going to render his decision very quickly.
Man, well, that's, are there times, I mean, we know that a lot of things take a lot of time in the court system. Why can something like this go so fast? Is it because it's a big newsworthy case and the judge can speed things up, or why the timetable?
Whenever
difference?
You have an injunction, which is what this is, the travel ban, for instance, right. whenever you ask to enjoin something, it's immediate relief, meaning if you don't enforce this or if you don't stop this from being enforced, then there's going to be irreparable harm to people. And this is what the judge ruled. The judge ruled that people could be irreparably harmed by having to pay this tax, and if it again is found unconstitutional, they wouldn't get the mechanism to pay it back. So the court really looked at this and gave an immediate ruling. And that's the nature of injunctions. They move very, very quickly, and with the idea that these are very important cases. I mean, who gets taxed? Is there a travel ban? It's something that has to be done immediately.
Karen Conti's here, 312-981-7200. That's how you get your legal question answered. So get your questions in early so we can get to them. You mentioned you brought up the travel ban. That was in the news this week. The Supreme Court said, well, we'll kind of give a little lenience on the travel ban. It can go into effect for a little while. Were you surprised at that, the change of heart from the Supreme Court?
Well, it wasn't as big a success story as I think that the Trump people have made it out to be, because it really just loosened up one small slice, and that is from those six countries, the Muslim countries. If you can be banned from this country if you have no connection to family, to a job,
right.
to education, or some real serious connection. So people who just want to come here on a visa that have no connection here can't come here. That's a small slice of people. It's probably
yeah.
less than 100,000 or right around 100,000 people a year. And the court doesn't really show its hand at this point. The judges just said, yeah, we really don't see anyone who would be harmed by this because those people are really not in this country, right?
Right.
And they haven't been in this country and they have no connection to this country. So we find nothing wrong with that
right.
portion of it. So, but they're going to rule on the whole thing, later in the fall.
Yeah. It just that part. It seems again like we're Trump coming up with a false sense of security. Anybody who wants to, if you're coming to do this country harm, you can find a way to have a connection to a family member or a job.
Well, chances
or a
are
school.
You do because
yes.
you're part of a network
right.
of people
so it
who are doing this kind
people
of thing.
People go, "Oh, this is making us safer." No, not really.
I don't think so.
Making us safer at all.
And it doesn't really give us an idea of what's going to happen long term because
right.
the Supreme Court, you know, for all you think
they're
about
cagey.
Them being, you know, ideal, you know, logs where they just like, I'm liberal, I'm conservative. No, they look at the hard, fast law. They look at the language of the statute and they parse it like a doctor, you know, takes out an appendix.
Right.
This is nothing that I feel that it's, no, they're looking at the law. And you can tell that when they issued this opinion, they were parsing the things that they could parse, and
right.
we don't really know what they're going to do down the line.
We'll find out in the fall, though. All right, since we're talking about the president and his administration and news, this is news, whether you want to make a little video or not. The president tweeted the other day, went after the hosts of Morning Joe on MSNBC. Then there's an allegation that came out from the show and its hosts that was published in the Washington Post, that the president used the threat of a alleged, and I'm trying to parse my words too, a National Enquirer story that may or may not have been happening, that allegedly a couple of his aides, top aides, called these hosts and said, listen, if you call the president and apologize, he can make this story go away. Some people were saying that's tantamount to blackmail. I don't know the legalities. You can explain what blackmail is. Is the National Enquirer complicit in any wrongdoing? Are the president's aides potentially in trouble for doing something? Could the president, what's the quagmire of this? Because it sounds, you know, of course, we'll play it up a little bit. The facts are there. The tweets are there. Where does this
yeah.
fall? And what is,
I mean,
what would be the legal definition of blackmail?
Yeah, this, I don't know that it actually rises to the level of blackmail, but, you know, or extortion, but when the president, as part of the government, gets involved with making that kind of threat, that is something very different.
Okay.
Because you're taking an official action as a government to try to hush some citizens from saying what they're going to say, which is a First Amendment issue, which could be obstruction of justice, which could be some just inappropriate conduct that would, you know, I mean, seriously, you know, high crimes and misdemeanors is what impeachment is. Could this be a high crime or a misdemeanor? Sure, it could.
Okay.
So the fact that the government is doing it via Trump, and, you know, by the way, you know, him, you know, Trump using his Twitter account, you know, that's arguably a government account because he's got it as the president of the United
right.
States. And so, again, you're thinking that the government is issuing these tweets. Something seriously wrong with it. Really, I mean, he's not an independent. He's not a citizen anymore. He's
right.
He is the government,
the leader. Yes,
the leader of the free world. But I find it interesting, and I really would like to know if these facts are true. And also, it's going to depend too upon what state this happened in, if they are going to press charges. But trying to force someone to issue an apology and an exchange, saying something wrong about them or something negative about them, comes close. But I'm not sure if it's actually extortion.
But again, since the president wasn't the one who called, allegedly. His aides called. There's plenty of people, and I'm sure the president could say this. Hey, I didn't. They said it. I didn't. You know, it's one of those. You know.
Well, but when you are working for the president and you are acting as an agent for the president,
on his behalf,
you can bind your boss. You know,
okay.
So if my employees go out and do something, not that I'm responsible for their criminal activity, but I'm responsible for them civilly of what they do. I mean, they can bind me to a contract. They can, you know, bind me to decisions. So I think that's going nowhere. And there's no question in my mind that the argument's going to be, why would they be out there doing it on their own behalf?
Yeah.
Someone told them to do it, or someone gave them some really strong suggestions to do it.
Every day, more and more exciting news coming via
Twitter.
I'm just
saddened. I'm saddened that we are distracted by this. I'm saddened that we don't have better things to do. And I'm saddened by some of the people who seem to think this is okay.
Yeah. Karen Conti is here. You have a legal question? 312-981-7200. Does it involve bringing a truckload of fireworks back across the Illinois line? I don't know what your legal trouble is, but it's, you know, holiday themed. Could be. 312-981-7200. That's the phone. That's the text. That's how you get a hold of us and get your legal questions answered right here on 720 WGN. Somebody, we were talking about the proposed beverage tax, the 1 cent per ounce on sugary beverages. Somebody wanted to know, and let's see, it jumped again. Do you know if the tax includes diet soft drinks and artificial sweeteners? Are they included?
I believe it does.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I don't know that one is worse than the other one. Some
right.
people tell you that it's better to drink a sugar drink than to drink NutraSweet, but
yeah, but then again, that kind of goes against it. Well, technically, it's sweetened, but it's not. You know, it's not the sugar that you're supposed to be protecting us from. Even though, you know, I could get M&Ms and not have to pay my penny
right.
an ounce tax.
It's the whole thing is just arbitrary. It's just really, really arbitrary. And obviously, they're just trying to raise money and doing it on to something that they think is going to maybe make people be more healthy. But as we all know, with cigarettes and liquor
yeah.
and all that stuff, where they tax the you know what out of it, and people are still going to buy it.
Exactly.
And you know what? And they'll buy it before they buy food.
Right.
So.
It's this the syntax thing that I don't get, that when they use the term nanny state. Well, the government knows how to protect us better than we know how to protect ourselves, so we're gonna tax a six pack of beer or a bottle of gin or
I
whatever.
I think that is false, especially right now that the government knows best.
I would tend to agree. Hey, you know what? I forgot to tell people to play ball, celebrate the Cubs with team memorabilia, exclusive books, and so much more. Visit ChicagoTribuneStore.com today. So do that. This text from the 630. I know Karen is not a mind reader, but why do you think the police don't do more about enforcement of the laws regarding use of electronic devices while driving?
That's a good question.
Because we all see it every day.
That's a really good question. My guess is that the police can't really see it very much. I mean, how is a policeman going to see that you're using your phone? I mean, if you're one of those policemen that's sitting on the highway mm-hmm. watching drivers go by, can you actually see if someone's got the phone to their ear? And maybe it's just a matter of not knowing.
Well, one, it would have to be manpower, too, because think of all the cars that are on all the roads. You can't have police watching everybody all the
right.
time. I have heard interviews with police officers that say if they're in traffic, it's easy for them to tell because they see people's heads going up and down.
Right.
So they can tell somebody's texting. But like you said, if I'm sitting on the side of the interstate and cars are going past me at 20 miles an hour, or 20 miles an hour, yeah, then you know they're texting, but 60, 70 miles an hour, it's going to be very hard to tell.
It is hard, but don't you think, Brian, from what you've seen, there are so many distracted drivers. It really makes me nervous to be on the road now.
Oh, yeah.
There are people who are doing all kinds of things, and you can see them, and they're going really slowly, or they're weaving and swerving and not paying any attention. And whenever I see a younger person do it, I guess, I don't know why, it makes me even more nervous.
Well, because they're coming up at an age where the awareness of that kind of stuff is everywhere. You know, there's campaigns about it. There's everything. So you would think they would know. But when you're young, and you remember this, we were young once, you think you're invincible.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't. Old people can't text or drive. I'm young. I can do whatever I want. Okay.
I wonder if we're ever going to get to a point where you can't operate your cell phone while you're in a driving car. It's sort of like, you know, that your navigation system sometimes won't let you put things in.
My radio won't let me do anything if the car is in reverse.
Oh, really?
I can't change the station. I can't connect to the phone when the car is going in reverse.
Interesting.
I guess because they want you paying attention to what's behind you, not what's on the radio.
Yeah.
So
makes sense.
That's it. 312-981-7200. That's the phone number to get your legal question answered by Karen Conti. Gail has been hanging on. She is in Chicago. Hi, Gail. Welcome to WGN.
Hi. I'm kind of nervous.
Don't be nervous. It's just us talking.
You shouldn't be nervous. I'm the one who has to answer the question.
Yeah. It's Karen's reputation on the line. You and I, Gail, we got nothing to lose.
Okay. Somebody at work, my boss, sends out a weekly email. And in the email, she always uses a song. She puts in the artist's words in quotations and gives credit to the artist's name in the song. But I'm wondering if she can legally do that without asking permission from the artist. It goes out to everybody in our department.
So she does give credit to the singer or to the composer?
Yeah, yeah. We had a discussion whether or not that's proper or not.
You know, I think that there's a rule that, you know, I don't know exactly, this is not my area of expertise here, but that you can quote books and you can quote authors and you can quote songs if you use a little bit of it, you know, and that's fair comment. She's making a comment. This is just a small piece of a song, but to take a whole song or take a whole piece of book, you know, book writing and not give attribution, or even if you give attribution, it might be too much if you quote too much. But I think that these little pieces are not violative of any law.
Well, it's the whole song. So
it's the whole song. I guess I don't know the exact answer to that. I think the fact that she gave attribution probably saves it, but, you know, I'd probably have to ask a trademark or copyright lawyer for the real answer to that one.
Looks like you're gunning for this coworker, Gail.
No, not at all.
All right.
I was just curious.
Well, have a good weekend. Enjoy the holiday. Thanks for the call.
Thank you. That's an interesting one.
Thank you.
Take care. Yeah. It did sound like she wanted it. She was going after that employee.
She obviously didn't like that person.
Maybe she included songs that Gail wasn't a fan of.
Maybe.
You know, it was all jazz or blues, and Gail wants some, I don't know, some boy band hip hop. I don't know what Gail likes. How would I know Gail's musical taste? Let's see. I must say I am for this from the 815. I'm for the so-called sugar tax. The city or state needs money. Why not tax something that people don't need? I like a beer or wine, and I would understand taxing that. They do. They tax it like crazy. If it's a problem, don't drink it. Yeah, but then the problem with this tax, as I see it, and as part of the argument, is it's targeting people who probably don't need to be paying any more taxes. You know, and it's a tax that is, as you said before, arbitrary. It's, all right, we're going to tax pop. But we're not going to tax chocolate milk. But we're going to tax, you know, it doesn't make sense.
You know, I don't know what the name of the texter was, but I hear you. I understand. We need some money in our coffers.
Yes.
Raise it in a way that, you know, does everyone need a Coke? You know, maybe everyone needs water. Maybe everyone needs aspirin. But not everyone needs a sugary beverage. I get that. But just from a legal standpoint, and I'm not sure how I feel about it, like technically, but But from a legal standpoint, I just think that it's going to be deemed to be arbitrary just because you have to have fairness. And you know, if you're a retailer and you're selling soda,
yes,
this could seriously
oh,
impact.
Sure.
In fact, when I was out of state today, it was like, buy your soda here. You know,
yeah.
I saw it all over the place.
Well, they're saying you can't ship it in. Like, you can't go on Amazon or whatever and buy it. But, yeah, if I live anywhere along the county line and if I can cross the street, at my old house, I was, one side of the street was Cook County, one side of the street was Will County. Well, I'm going to buy my pop at Will County.
Right.
You know, I'll just cross the street, which hurts all the retailers in my area and does take away the sales tax that the city and the county could have used.
Sure.
But, oh well.
Yeah, there's two different analyses of these things. I mean, do you like it? Does it fit? Is it fair? Does it make sense? And then there's the legal analysis, and those two things aren't necessarily
right.
lined up.
Karen Conti is here, 312-981-7200. That's how you get your legal questions answered. We've got one about, a random drug test question from for the other side of the news, which we will get to right after this on 720 WGN. Karen jetted in just for tonight. Again, your dedication to the listeners here is... I had a hard time driving in 20 minutes. You came in from another state to be
well,
here.
Well, it was the right thing to do, Brian.
It is the right thing to do, which is why we're here, to do the right thing.
That's right.
Whether that means answering a question on text or by phone, it doesn't matter. We'll do both. Let's start with a text question. This one, I think I get this, and I read it to you. We'll see what your thoughts. My fiance recently had to go for a random drug test at work. When she went to work, as soon as she walked in, her boss said, "So when can I fire you? Is there anything she can do about him?"
So, look, what does that mean? I don't really understand what that means. Does that mean that he assumed she was going to fail the test? Saying something like that, there's, you know, workplace, the rules and the laws of the workplace are pretty open. You know, the employer can say almost anything to you as long as it's not because of your race or your gender or your age or disability. So saying that is not actionable. There's nothing you can do about
maybe,
that. And if he fired her because she said, "What?" and he said, "You're fired," he can fire her as long, again, as it's not for an improper reason.
And it might just have been a joke. Can people not joke at work?
Like it?
To me, the way I read it, it sounded like a joke. But it might not. We don't know the history of the woman and the employer.
No.
But still, you know, as you said, it's all for cause. You're at-will employee, right?
I've said this a million times, but it's hard for people to understand that fairness in the workplace, those words don't really mean nothing.
Right.
Because the boss does not have to be fair to you. The boss can fire you for any reason. I just talked to a client who was fired from something after 31 years, and they didn't give him no reason. They gave him no explanation. And, you know, I questioned him about, was it because of your age? Did they hire young people? No, the answer was no. Well, then he can do what he wants
right.
to do, and you're not really in a position to complain about it. And even hostile work environment, people say, well, they're swearing at the workplace. That doesn't mean what it means. Hostile is hostile when it comes to sexual harassment or something discriminatory, not just being mean or swearing.
Right. Yeah. All right. Well, listen.
Which is perfectly acceptable at the workplace, according to what I've heard from my potential clients.
I'm always surprised by that, too, when I hear people, you know, I swear, I love to swear. I don't swear here, and I don't swear in other professional places, so it surprises me when people do.
Well, I think there are a lot of people out there who are managers, and they have no training in how to manage people and no inclination to do the right thing, and I think people are constantly amazed that they have to put up with that, and my best advice is to start looking for a job, because you're not going to change someone's personality, especially when they're the boss and they're telling you what to do.
Exactly. 312-981-7200. That's how you get a hold of Karen. Bob is in Rockford. Oh, Rockford, one of America's most dangerous cities, home to executive producer Cody Old. You forgot to talk about me at the beginning of the show, golf. Hi, Bob.
Hey, Karen. Quick question. My wife and I, when we got married, we hired an attorney and we had a living trust. 5 years into our marriage, we were divorced. A year later, we realized that the divorce just wasn't working out, and we were remarried. My question is the original trust still valid?
Interesting. It is if you haven't changed it. In fact, this is all a good topic to bring up, that whenever you're divorcing or divorced, You should always change your estate plan, because the words of the trust or the will are going to dictate. And if it says wife and you have a new wife, then it's going to apply to that wife. What I would do, though, is I'd go back. I believe that it does still apply. And if you still want that same arrangement of the living trust in the same terms applying, that it would still be valid. But why run the risk? I would just maybe want to run it past your lawyer. Your lawyer might just say, just leave it as it is. Or he may even want to do a codicil or something that just says, you know, this is updated, or just have a re-signing of it just to make sure that there's no confusion down the line. But that's going to be up to your estate planning lawyer. It's a good question, and it's something that you should definitely make sure of. Again, if anyone's getting divorced or just been divorced, look at your insurance policies, your life insurance policies, look at your estate plan, and get those things changed as soon as possible.
All right. Good luck, Bob.
Good luck, Bob. And congratulations on reuniting with your wife.
There you go.
That doesn't happen very often. When it does, it's nice to hear.
It is nice.
Hope it works out.
Speaking of divorces, text from the 309. What recourse or options are there if your estranged spouse begins to act irresponsibly regarding your children? Divorce is in progress. Fails to pick them up at the assigned time. Leaves them home unsupervised when they are under 13.
Oh, well, this is, you know, if you're already involved in a divorce, then you have an avenue to bring motions. And we file motions for all kinds of things. Motions to limit visitation. If she's not picking the children up and they're stranded somewhere, you know, maybe she doesn't get to pick them up. Maybe there's a different arrangement for the visitation, or a motion for supervised visits, meaning someone's got to be there at all times while she's visiting. I mean, what is the reason for her erratic conduct? Is it some mental health issues? Is it depression? Is it, you know, drugs? Is she just, you know, it sounds like there was a change in her conduct from what he said, that it's becoming worse, or it's becoming an issue, whereas maybe it wasn't during the marriage, which could lead to me to believe that it might be depression or something like that, which you see. But again, leaving the children unsupervised, that's a bad one. I mean, that's something where the criminal authorities can come in and the DCFS can get involved. And that's not I'm not saying go call the DCFS and have the children removed, because that's a horrible thing. But you have to pay attention to it. And again, if you know about the neglect and you're not doing anything, the DCFS could implicate you. I've seen that a lot of times.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Being complicit?
Well, just letting it happen. You know, I've had cases where there's corporal punishment going on, and let's say father is punishing the children inappropriately, and the mother's letting him do that. They both get cited by the DCFS, and the children get taken away from both of them. Not saying all the time.
Right.
The same type of thing. I just had one the other day where it was not my case. I was watching it in court, but apparently the child needed medicine for ADHD, and the father refused to allow the child to take it, and the mother sort of said, I'm not going to fight. This is really hard on the kid. It's hard on me. So the child was not getting the medicine, and it was a serious, he had some very serious issues. And when he went off of it, there were some serious ramifications, and both parents were cited by the DCFS.
Jeez. All right.
So, again, you can't just let those things go by. You probably want to ask your lawyer to file some motions to see if we can either get her some help, but definitely before even that, just to make sure the kids are safe and taken care of.
All right. Let's get your legal questions, 312-981-7200. Steve is in Glenview. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Karen. Thanks for coming in for tonight. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
My question is this. I'm having a little mortgage problem with my bank, and for 2 years I've been trying to get them to work with me on a loan, and they're finally budging a little. But every time I call them, they tell me they're recording me, and when I turn it around on them and I say, well, you know what, I'm recording this conversation too, they completely flip out and start screaming, you don't have our permission to record us. Turn off your recorder. We're terminating this call right now. And they'll hang up on me. Even when they call me, they tell me they're recording me. And then if I turn it around on them and say, well, I'm recording, I guess my question is, how can they record me, but I can't record them?
That's really interesting. Yeah, I've never heard this. you know, I'd have to, you know what I'd have to do? I'd have to pull out the wiretap laws and actually read it word by word. You know, sometimes yeah. we as lawyers, we know what the law is, but in order to really analyze that. So, you right. know, my question would be is, huh. by the fact that you gave consent to the bank recording you, do they somehow reciprocally, you know, consent to you recording? I think the answer is going to be no. I think they have to agree to it. Is that fair? No. But again, you know, you're dealing with a bank. You're dealing with a bureaucracy, and you're trying to get something done with a bank, which is about a mortgage, which is a difficult thing to do. Right. I understand. I mean, I know doing these short sales and all this stuff. I mean, banks are notoriously difficult to deal with, mm-hmm. and you get somebody new every day. So I guess raising those issues may not be the best thing to do. Legally, from a legal standpoint, though, I think you're probably on the wrong side of that. But very interesting. Right. Maybe there should be a law that says if someone consents to, you know, to record you, that there's an automatic consent on the other side. It seems to make sense.
It would make sense.
Right, and it does. And, Brian, if you ever want to have fun, do it. Just tell them why I'm recording you, and they flip out. They go crazy.
You know me, Steve. I'm always looking to have fun.
I know, and I know you'll enjoy it.
Thanks for the call,
Steve. All right, good luck,
Steve. Take care.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye. Let's see. We had a couple. Can an employer fire someone for a specific reason? For example, they stole something, but another employee stole the same item a week later, and then they did not get fired because they're treated differently.
No. No, you can. Yes, an employer can do that. Employer can do that. First of all, if you stole something, you are definitely, you can be fired.
Right.
Okay. And it's really hard to say, but someone else stole something, and he didn't get the same punishment. Even when you, let's just say that the person, that you're African American and the other person is not African American, and that person wasn't fired, that would still be a bad argument to say that's discrimination because somehow I'm treated differently because of my skin. You still stole something. So I just don't think that's an argument ever. Now, if people, like, for instance, you see this all the time, Brian, where people come in late, maybe once right. a month, and someone gets fired for that, whereas
yeah.
someone else is coming in late every single day.
Yeah.
And you just look at the people coming in late and say they're all, you know, male.
Okay.
But the female is the one who gets fired.
Ah.
Then you can say, well, all the men were treated differently. They were allowed to come in late. But as a female, this is discrimination. Mm-hmm. Again, you're going to have to show that that's the reason, not anything else.
All right, we got to take a quick break, but we have the fiance with the boss who said, when can I fire you?
Okay.
We have a follow-up text from the fiance,
right.
so we'll get to that. Your legal questions, 312-981-7200. A few more minutes with Karen before she heads back to her vacation Shangri-La. During the week, now you'll
be... It's a chalet.
You're taking a couple days off, right? Are you taking a couple
yeah,
days off?
I'm working,
but people
but
can
I'm
leave you a voicemail.
Remotely, you know?
This is a great week for people to send you emails.
It is.
Emails with details, and where would they send those emails?
You can email me at kconti, that's KConti at kcontilaw.com.
All right. That's a good way to get a hold of people over the holidays. Let's do this. Then there's more WGN. So get those questions in quickly. All right. We had a texter earlier who said fiance was called in for a random drug test. When the fiance walked in, the boss said, how soon can I fire you? We thought, well, maybe it was a joke. Says, I'm the fiancé. My boss was not joking. He really wants me out of the store, but because I haven't done anything that he can give as valid proof to fire me, he was hoping this would be a way to get rid of me. However, we never heard about my results, so he is stuck with me. So it was not a joke. It sounds like there's a, as we said, we didn't know the history of the relationship.
But don't think that because your drug test came back and it was fine, that means your job is secure. If he wants you out, he can fire you.
For whatever reason he wants.
If he doesn't like your personality, right. if he doesn't like the color of your hair, he doesn't have to have a valid reason. It just can't be an invalid reason, okay?
Ah.
Like this discrimination based upon race, sex, age, all that stuff. So yeah, it's this
we
sounds like a job. This is again, this is my Karen advice, not my legal advice, which is start looking for a job,
yes.
man. Just start getting that resume out because this is a guy you don't want to work for. There's
yeah.
no, there's not going to be a future with this guy.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how you walk into a job place and work with somebody like that all day long and just get out of there.
Yeah. Good luck. If you make something out of your home that you sell online or wherever for side cash, at what point or when would you need to obtain a business license? Any idea?
Oh, that's really interesting. That is something that I probably would refer to a corporate attorney who does this kind of stuff, the incorporation stuff and putting together business documentation. Certainly, the thing I can say to this would be definitely incorporate as soon as possible, because you don't want to run the risk of doing something and having your personal assets at risk. So that's certainly something you should do right away. But as far as getting a business license, I think that's going to matter where you are, what city you're in, and exactly how you're doing business. Are you mailing things from your house? Is there a name that you need to protect? That's yet another thing, protecting the trade name. And there are lawyers that do just this. So why don't you have her give me a quick email, and I can refer her to someone who's in my office suite who does only this type of thing.
What's that email address?
It's kconti@kcontilaw.com. And even though I'm a lawyer, Brian, I have a LLC, and I have lawyers in my suite who do this for me. I don't even do it.
Right.
Even though I probably could figure it out. I just want to make sure it's done right.
Yeah,
so
that's why they specialize, right?
That's what they do, and they know all the tricks, and they know how to get it done very efficiently. So I don't want to misadvise you by giving you something that's not going to be accurate.
All right, we had a caller. Cody, can you do this now, or are you busy? No? All right, Cody's got something going on. Somebody didn't want to hold on, but since they didn't want to hold on, the good news is Jerry jumps to the top of the line. He's from Hoffman Estates. Jerry, you're on WGN. Welcome.
Oh, thank you. I was just going to ask Karen if these companies that are hired by the state, like through Medicaid, are they required to do background checks on their employees that they send out to homes of the elderly and the disabled? Are they required to do background checks on the people that they send to these homes of these people?
You know, I would have to check the law, and I'd have to check all of those things. But my very educated guess in this, because I've represented companies that do that provide home health care, they're very highly regulated, very regulated. And I would be 99% sure that there is a requirement that certain background checks are to be done, and even the extent of the background checks, because obviously this is a very important thing. And if people are hurt or harmed or money is stolen or people are injured or neglected, you know that there's going to be hell to pay. So my guess is it's right in the law.
All right, Jerry, thank you for the call. And that goes to our next call, Paul, who's on the north side. Hi, Paul.
Hey, how you doing? I'm a blinded veteran, and I used to personal care attendant, and for the last couple of years, it turns out that she was using my credit card to make unauthorized charges and purchases.
Oh, so, that's terrible.
So I contacted my bank, Chase Bank, and they closed the accounts, you know, and thereafter they gave me new credit card account and new checking account, and once the matter was resolved, I was absolved of about $7,000 worth of charges. All of a sudden, the bank closed my credit card account and the checking account, and it was explained to me that because of my blindness and my situation, I was a high risk. Can they legally deny me services like that?
Oh, that's a very good question. I would guess that they have, I mean, the rules and the laws apply to disabled people.
Right.
So that, can you deny someone a service based upon the fact that they're blind? Does the fact that you're blind make you a high risk for fraud? Maybe. But they have to accommodate you. My guess would be, from a legal standpoint, if I really analyze this, they would have to somehow accommodate you so that maybe they required a secondary signature or something on your accounts. But to just deny you service based upon your disability seems to me to be illegal.
Ooh.
But I think, you know, what you might want to do, why don't you email me if you can. I don't know. You probably aren't on email, so take that back.
No,
probably
no,
want to give me a call, and maybe I can find you someone who can give you an answer. There are some organizations that will do these kinds of things. Again, are you going to pursue it? Are you going to sue them? Are you going to want to get money from this? Your chances are you're better off with another bank, right?
Yeah.
Because who wants a bank that's going
to
do this?
I had no other choice but to go to another bank. But I know we're short of time. But they left me hanging because I had paid several bills, you know, with my new accounts. And, of course, all the checks bounced. And now I'm strapped with a collection agencies demanding penalty payments, $25 for each check, which was about five or six checks. But I'll take your information and your suggestion, if you please.
Sure. It's 312.
I'm going to write it in Braille. I have an electronic Braille machine.
Oh, wonderful. That's wonderful. 312-332-7800.
And right. May I know how you spell your name?
It's Karen Conti, C-O-N-T-I. Good luck. And I'll get you someone to maybe make some calls for you.
All right, Paul, good luck, and make sure you get a hold of Karen. Thank you for the call. Hi, Karen, I'm in the second year of a workers' comp case. Can I go to the board myself to move the case along without my lawyer?
Once you have a lawyer, that lawyer is the only person who can act for you. So you would either do one of two things. You'd fire your lawyer and then go in there, or just keep at it. Right. These cases take a long time. Everyone who calls me about their workers' compensation cases, why is it taking so long? Why is it taking? This is just the way it is. If you have lost confidence in your lawyer, you might want to just ask the lawyer, why is this taking so long? What is the status? What is the next date? What is the plan? When do you think this is going to happen? Because this takes a long time. Some personal injury cases will take 2 or 3 or 4 years. Some divorces take that long. You know, the process is slow, but, you know, if you have otherwise have confidence in your lawyer, stick with your lawyer and make sure that lawyer is telling you what's going to happen next and when.
All right. Cody, real quick, you had a caller who could not hold on. You said they had a question that you could not type, but you would like to speak. I think it's just a ruse for you to get more airtime, but we'll give into that ruse. Go ahead.
Sure, why not? There is a listener who has been forced, has been issued a summons to begin the foreclosure process, and she said that lawyers have advised her that they can either help her with modification, which she says she can do herself, or she can file for bankruptcy, which she doesn't want to do. So she's wondering, is there any point in hiring a lawyer or paying a lawyer if those are the only two options they're going to offer her?
If you think you can do a modification on your own, you know, go do it. But I really think you need a lawyer to help you. And the other point of this is once the foreclosure starts happening, you need someone to go to court for you. Otherwise, it's going to be foreclosed on, and then you're going to pay interest and fees and attorney's fees. So you need a lawyer. And I actually have a guy who does just this. He does foreclosure, bankruptcy, modification. That's his forte for people who have problems. So if anyone has that issue, email me, and I can send you his contact information. He's excellent and very trustworthy.
And that email address again
is kconti@kcontilaw.com.
All right. Now, thank you for making the sacrifice, coming all the way back for this hour. We appreciate it. The listeners do, the people whose question you've answered. Now you can jet back off to wherever it is you are. Enjoy the fireworks. Have a nice 4th of July.
Happy 4th of July to everyone.
Will you be on with Steve Wednesday morning?
I will be on with
Steve. Of course, that's a business day. 6:40 Wednesday morning. You can hear Karen with Steve Cochran. Will we talk to you again next Sunday?
We will.
All right. Then I'll see you next Sunday.
All right.
Have a great 4th of July.
You too.
Let's do this, and then we'll be back, and we'll wrap things up on WGN. Thank you for listening and being part of the program. Have a great holiday weekend. I'll talk to you tomorrow afternoon at 3. Rick Kogan comes your way on the other side of the news. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. If you're an Amazon Echo user, just say play WGN Radio and then watch the electronic fireworks begin. It is 9 o'clock on WGN with the news, the very patriotic Roger Badish.